Please turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Tonight we're going to be talking about riches. To many of us, that translates into money. Now, of course, spiritually, we are spiritually rich in Christ, but that's not going to be the focus. We're going to talk about physical, worldly riches tonight. And, you know, whenever we talk about that, whenever we mention that, what comes to mind? The very fact of that we lack it, right? That we don't have incredible riches. But that's the whole point of our lesson this morning, remember? In Ephesians chapter 1 and the spiritual riches that we have, that's what matters. James is writing, and as we know, he's writing to a primarily Jewish audience of people that have professed to know Christ. And I believe the vast majority of them were poor. They had been scattered, and there was persecution going on in the church. And so it was a difficult time for them. With that in mind, he addresses the rich in this passage. And I believe the rich here, it could be some Jewish Christians or professing Christians. And I say that because, sadly, that happens. People profess to know Christ, but they don't truly know Him. How do you know that? Well, they don't live like it. But this also is a message on the dangers of riches, of worldly wealth. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about this. Listen to a couple passages from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 11:4 says, "Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death." Proverbs 11:28 says, "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch." Notice the contrast that the book of Proverbs makes. Riches and the righteous. Those that are rich and the righteous. Interesting comparison, isn't it? Now, can you be rich and righteous? Absolutely. Praise the Lord that this world has righteous, rich people. But so often the tendency is that riches corrupt. And that's what we're going to see tonight. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7, "There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches." Listen to this. Proverbs 13, 8, "The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke." What does that mean? Well, you think about if a man is rich, it's much more attractive to go after, right? Because he has riches to give for his life. The poor, not near as attractive. They don't have much to get, much to gain. And Proverbs 22:1, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." All right, Proverbs 22:16 says, "He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want." Proverbs 23:5, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." So the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about riches. And it shows us that great comparison, riches and righteous. Now James, many times known as the Proverbs of the New Testament, builds upon that truth. Let's look at our text, James chapter 5 and verse 1. James chapter 5, verse 1. "Go to now, you rich men, Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Verse 5, you have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Verse 7 begins with, be patient therefore. And what you're going to see in this text is that the first six verses are addressed to the rich. And then verse 7 immediately transitions to what I believe James is speaking to his primary audience, those Jewish believers. Be patient, therefore, you who are suffering under the rich. Now, in this passage, we see described four major things that the rich are doing. They're being condemned for hoarding riches. They're being condemned for withholding wages. They're being condemned for living in wanton pleasure. And fourthly, they're being condemned because they have condemned and killed the righteous and the just. Let's just look at this passage. And as we do, I want you to keep in mind what Jesus had to say when he was on earth. James has a lot of wording that compares to the Sermon on the Mount. And listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And dear ones, tonight, you know, you may not have a lot of worldly wealth. You may not have that, and maybe you don't foresee that in your future. Tonight's message is for us to be reminded that this world and its pleasures are not what we are to be focusing on. You know, sadly, this world, it promotes wealth. It pushes riches. And so often people can be drawn to that being their focus in life. Is it wrong to want to be wealthy, want to be a success in the business world or wherever? No, it's not. But you must keep in mind the dangers of worldly wealth. James writes in Chapter 5, verse 1, go to now, basically saying, pay attention. Listen, you rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. You realize the ungodly rich in their souls are miserable? How else can you explain all the tragedies of Hollywood? They're miserable. Why can't marriages work in Hollywood? Why don't they? Why don't they last? You have two rich people trying to live together. And the riches, it's miserable. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Well, the picture is that of literally wailing as if people were mourning the death of someone. This is the misery that is in the heart of the ungodly rich. And I say the ungodly rich just to characterize people who are living according to worldly wealth and not according to God's truth. So he begins that premise, and he sets that as the stage, and then he gives these four things that the rich are doing that are offensive to God. Number one, you see, verse 2, your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasures together for the last days. They're hoarding wealth. You see, the scriptures do not promote hoarding wealth, keeping money and wealth all for yourself. Now, the obvious thing, the obvious thought is we've got rich and poor in this environment, in this community. Rather than hoarding it for themselves, really, do the rich need more? No, they don't need more. Who needs it? Those that are poor. And so, with that in mind, you have this picture that James is painting. Your riches, they just become destroyed. They don't last forever. Your garments, they become moth-eaten. How many of you have ever experienced that? When you pull clothes out of the closet or from the attic, and they are not the same shape that they were in before. They've got the holes in. It's sad, but true. This world does not last. And you hold on to these riches and worldly wealth. Why? Why? They don't last. It's interesting here, his wording, the rust of them, he says gold, silver, it's cankered, it rusts, it shall be a witness against you. What is that picture? Well, I hold on to all my wealth, and I have so much gold and so much silver, I don't have time to keep it all polished. And so what happens? It begins to become tarnished. And it's just a sign to you, you've got too much. You've got more than you need. You have heaped treasure together for the last day. I would prefer to translate that last phrase there, you have heaped treasure together in the last days. That's the preposition in rather than for. And I believe the picture that James is seeking to communicate here is in these last days, in these days that have gone by recently, you rich, you have just heaped up treasure together for yourself. Language very similar to the Lord Jesus, as he wrote in Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount. So what's the danger of worldly wealth? It's a witness against us, hoarding. Don't be a hoarder of worldly wealth. Your wealth will tell you when you have too much. It's when you can't keep track of it all and take good care of it. That's the time when you need to start giving it away. Start giving it away. Realizing you have more than you need, more than you can handle. Sadly, that was not the case for these folks. Secondly, in verse 4, James writes, and he says, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. Now, what crieth? I want you to notice, first of all, the wages that have not been given are what's crying here. It's if money could talk, if the rich man was walking amongst his laborers and the money that they deserved was in his pocket, if money could talk, it would be crying out. And that's the picture that's here. All the wages that these rich people are holding back, and this being a Jewish environment, I'm sure they had this thought in mind. Deuteronomy chapter 24, listen to what it says. Thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. At his day thou shalt give him his hire. Neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and sets his heart upon it, lest he cry against you unto the Lord and it be a sin unto you. In the Jewish environment, the poor deserved their wages every single day before the sun went down. I believe they knew that. I believe these people understood that, but they were taking advantage of the poor. So not only did they hoard their wealth, but they took advantage of the poor. The wages of the poor was crying out in addition to the poor themselves. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered unto the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. I want to say something special here. I want you to know that our Lord hears our cries. I thought that's just a special touch here in the midst of some tough language. We know something here. The Lord hears the cries of those that are needy. The Lord of Sabaoth is a term basically Lord of hosts, Lord of armies. And it is interesting to hear, because what James is saying here is you are holding back what they deserve. And their cries, they're being heard by the Lord of armies. The Lord of armies. Don't you forget it. Wealth, worldly riches, they're dangerous because they cause us to take advantage of people. If you find that your wealth and your money are tempting you to take advantage of others, it's time to start giving it away. It's time to start taking care of people and realizing that worldly wealth is a dangerous, dangerous thing to make your God. So they hoarded wealth. They withheld wages. Thirdly, verse 5, you have lived in pleasure on the earth. You've been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. These people have lived in wanton luxury. What do I mean by that? Well, the picture here is that these folks are living in pleasure and luxury and self-indulgence. Their life is all about themselves. And so their worldly wealth is feeding their selfish ambitions, their pleasures, and they just continue to build upon them. That explains why so many wealthy in our world today have vast empires, have vast estates upon estates upon estates. They own islands across the world. They have all of these different places, and they live in laps of luxury. It's because worldly wealth is something that feeds on wealth. And isn't it interesting? It seems as if the wealthy never have enough. Well, let me rephrase that. I believe we all face that, don't we? I think we all face that temptation. I just need a little bit more. Just want a little bit more. And it's magnified when you're wealthy, because to have a little bit more is a whole lot more. You realize, don't you, that ungodly riches, worldly wealth, is very, very controlling. It's controlling of your life. These people are being described as nourishing their hearts. That word could be said feeding their hearts, as in a day of slaughter. And the picture is of this. You understand, don't you, that on farms we raise cattle and they are butchered. Cattle, they do not know the day that they will be butchered. But up to that very moment that they are sent to the butcher, sent to the slaughterhouse, what are they doing? They are eating, and they are eating, and they are eating. And they continue that process all the way up to the day of slaughter. This day of slaughter, I believe, is a picture of judgment. And the rich are described as people that just keep plodding along in their miserable selves, all the way up to the day of judgment. That's their way of life. It's miserable. The ungodly rich are miserable. The ungodly man's riches, they're corruptible. The ungodly man's riches are controlling. The ungodly rich are always wanting more. And that just explains the appetite that is carried along all the way up into the day of judgment. So consider this when it comes to worldly wealth. What's the appetite that you have? Do you have an appetite for worldly wealth and riches? Is it so controlling in your life that you don't see an end? It's just continuing on and on and on. So they hoarded wealth, they withheld wages, they lived in selfish indulgence, self-indulgence. And finally, they condemned and killed just people. This has happened throughout history, where in the name of wealth and riches, people have taken advantage of others. Our passage, James 5, verse 6, you've condemned and you killed the just, and he doth not resist you. The just, another word you could say there, is righteous. Those that are abiding by the standards of the Lord. They don't resist because they have very little to resist with. And our dear Lord Jesus, what did he say? We are to love our enemies, huh? And so we see that the ungodly rich take advantage of those who are less fortunate. Don't allow yourself to be so overcome by wealth or riches that you begin to take advantage of people. You'll know it. You'll see it. We are to be people that, rather than take advantage of others, we help and encourage others. In our following time that we'll be studying this passage together, we're going to then see the response that James is calling out for. Yes, this is the way the rich are. This is the dangers of worldly wealth. But be patient, brother. Be patient. You notice verse 7, he says, be patient therefore, brethren. Notice he doesn't say anything about brethren in this whole passage to the rich. Again, I'm not condemning rich people. I'm not condemning wealth. But we must understand the dangers. They are real. Wealth, money can have a very powerful grip upon our lives. And if you make that your focus and that your ambition in life, you will fall prey to these dangers, to the misery that is known by those who live for worldly wealth. In closing, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said this, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We understand that, don't we? We're not taking anything with us. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich, and notice Paul carries the very same theme. Those that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. The dangers of worldly wealth. May we heed this warning. May this passage in James not describe us someday. Lord, I thank you for our time together, and I thank you for your precious word. God, it is an amazing thing how much your word has in it, and how it tells us so much about the dangers of this world. Lord, you very clearly laid out for us the dangers of worldly wealth, and we appreciate how you've communicated that to us, because God, honestly, it is tempting. It is tempting to run after riches. Now, God, I pray that you would help us. Help us, Lord, to be wise and prudent. Help us, Lord, to manage whatever finances you put within our hands. Help us to manage it well. Give us eyes to see the poor and to care for them in a loving manner. Lord, truly we are rich in Christ. And may we use whatever worldly wealth we are given, may we use it for your honor and for your glory. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.